Hello, listeners, and welcome to Spoiler Alert, a weekly talk radio show for TV and movie lovers. I'm your Zadie host, Sonia Stanger, and I'm joined, as always, by two of the cutest little dumplings out there, Sean Dunham and Jeremy Legui.
That's us!
Hi!
Ni hao, boys!
Hi!
How's it going? It's March.
It is March.
It is. Is the winter over?
Well, don't say that, Jer.
Why?
Because now it won't be.
That's and not how that works.
The way I've been skating, triple sow cowing, like all over the place today.
Quadruple axle.
It was for
quad axle.
It was very bad today. Penguin.
Did you see the hearse?
Whoa.
A hearse?
For me?
A hearse for you. A hearse crashed into Speaker's Corner today.
OMG.
Mm-hmm.
Oops.
That's bad. Is everyone okay?
Well, one of them didn't make it.
Oh. Sorry, we have to go. We're done now, Sean.
Sorry.
We can't top that.
But anyway, yeah, it was very slippery.
How did that even...
Well, you're a big old car and you're riding along and... Uh-oh,
they must
it's really
have been turning off of...
Well, there's nowhere
street.
To really even turn there.
Yeah, I'm so confused about... Anyway.
They just kept going.
This is a show about movies.
in case you couldn't tell by that.
And so, yeah, it's somehow March. I don't know if you guys feel that way, but...
Well, it doesn't matter if we feel that way.
I don't know how this happened.
It's happening.
It is on us.
And as you may or may not know, we have a tradition at Spoiler Alert of having our own little March Madness tournament this month, where we put the movies of a single actor to the test based on an exacting set of criteria in a knockout tournament to see which emerged victorious. But we live in a different world than we did last year.
You know what? Why?
Unprecedented times. Forever, I guess. And so this year, we decided to do things a little differently. Not only are we focusing on a director rather than an actor, but we're dispensing with the hierarchy and competition, and instead of evaluating the quality of each film, we're just on a meandering adventure through one artist's catalog for the pleasure of the journey.
Let's just scoot around the fields of his work.
A March calmness, if you will.
Yes, I would.
Not March Madness, but March calmness.
Yes.
And, excitingly...
What?
That artist, which I will tell you why I just gasped in a second, is celebrated Taiwanese director Ang Lee. So today we're starting with Lee's first three films, which are informally known as the Father Knows Best trilogy. And to give listeners a little peek behind the curtain about why I just gasped, don't even remember what I said.
Excitingly.
Yep.
We normally have a kind of punny name for our month. So we had like the Foster film Face Off.
The Robin Sanity.
Robin Sanity. And listeners, I forgot that's something we do until about 10 minutes before the show. And we were furiously workshopping.
Furious.
Now we can come up with adverbs.
We can just do it whenever we want. We don't even have to try
anymore. Marvelous Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so I guess we'll keep working on that. If anyone has any ideas, please write in.
Do you want to let the people know some of your earlier works?
One that Jared just came up with that I think is
I'm
a hit.
Trying so hard just not to laugh at it. It's killing me so bad.
Sprang so, calmness.
So we have two words to work with. We have Ang and we have Lee.
Yeah.
And what could we do with these? And he said... What about Sprang?
He can't stop laughing.
Rites of Sprang.
It's so stupid. Oh, my God. It's killing me.
Sprang madness. I don't know. The one I came up with was March Calmness, : Wait, what was it? Oh, find the balance.
Find the balance.
Because I feel like there's a theme of balance.
They're all so good.
There's an X in there now. And there's
well,
not an X in
the G,
either.
The G with this.
When the G meets the
when
C.
When the G meets this.
I think when you have to see the pun, it might fall apart.
Yeah, I think that was my conclusion as soon as I started to say it.
Well, it doesn't come together when you hear the pun either, really.
Literally what happened was I had the thought while I was in the bathroom before the show, and then I... Excitedly.
You had that post-bathroom clarity.
Scurried up to Sean.
No.
And was like, I got it. And then started to say it and said, nope, that's not it. So all of that to say, we don't know
We're
yet.
Still workshopping.
Mm-hmm. Art takes time. As always, a spoiler alert is in full effect. Mm-hmm. You just might find out that it's hard to coexist with people you can't or won't communicate with.
Mm. Wow.
I also might go as far to say that Father does not know best.
Yeah.
And sometimes, even if you speak the same language, you can't communicate.
True. And that's why.
Okay.
That's why I was left it a bit vague, because themes.
Themes.
So let's get into it. We'll kind of dive into the films in more detail in a minute. But let's dip a toe in. Mm. What was your history with Ang Lee before this week?
Honestly, the big ones.
Honestly?
Mm-hmm. Honestly?
Now I'm just hearing it all the time. Yeah, the big
just
ones.
Just like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Love that film. Had it on VHS, not to brag. Loved watching that. And then also went to see Broke Down Palace, Brokeback Mountain.
The sequel.
I saw one of the Brokes in theater. And also, like, it was a long time ago. I did like it. I haven't really gone back to it that much, gotta say. Mm. Until probably next week.
Brokeback?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that's kind of all. I haven't seen any of his other films. So this was very exciting and exhilarating for me.
I do think... So I didn't mention this.
What?
But, like... I've kind of stopped watching Ang Lee movies.
Whoa.
Because, like, after three bad ones in a row, I'm just like, I can't do
it.
Wow. Now, they're not in a row, but
you watch them in
order that I saw them, right? And so I'm talking Hulk, Life of Pi, Gemini Man. And, like, I assume we're going to have to rewatch some of these this month.
We could do a week that's just the flops.
There's too many.
Floply.
We literally just start. Literally.
I know.
Just literally. Started. And you're already dragging our director.
No, you're asking. I'm answering the question.
You are.
Anyway, but I
did ask for that.
Yeah, I will say, like, I liked. I enjoyed watching all three of the films we picked. So it kind of, I'm excited to find out where it went wrong.
Where do we go wrong? Because after this, we start hitting Oscar territory.
We do, right? And like, the greats are great, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, I think we all agree, and we will agree in the future. However, coming into it, I was concerned.
Mm.
Okay.
And then, I don't know why, I feel like we all thought this, but the man's only got 26 credits to his name.
Mm-hmm.
Only?
Yeah, that's just, it's like other people we talked about have like hundreds.
Mm.
And so I was honestly surprised to see something lower than 70. Like, I just figured that there was going to be a lot more. But it seems like he just like made some things that went well, got super big, and then has been just doing that.
Yeah.
And he kind of got into it in a weird way too, which maybe we can discuss later. But
Maybe.
So I don't think directing was even in his flight plan.
Yeah, which is really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
All I can hear are adverbs now.
Like, don't listen to them.
I'm about half in this conversation.
You have to get into it.
The other half is just me hearing Lee. for your consideration.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Relaxing.
Are you okay, bud?
I got a little frog. I'm emotional about my lack of puns.
Relax.
Oh, no.
You're right there. Relax.
Oh, no. I got it. Excitedly relaxed.
I think that we can't be jamming Ang in the middle of a word.
I think it was something different before, and then that's just what came out.
You know that famous saying, excitedly relaxed.
Well, it's this idea of dualities.
Sprang Lee Harvey Oswald.
No! Oh my God. Sorry, listeners. Oh, I'm so sorry. We should just go and just
Lee Redwell.
Play some music.
Okay.
what? Okay. So, for me, same as Sean.
Okay.
I've only really seen the bigs. And interested. I really love his kind of like visual sensibility, maybe. I don't know.
Well, it's so funny because I wouldn't say there's a ton of through lines. Like, you know, I was watching these three. They're all very sensitive, intimate, beautiful. A lot of like... you know, beautiful cooking montages, things like that.
Oh, yeah.
But it doesn't, you wouldn't immediately be like, I can see Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon in this.
Mm.
There's like, the man has a very varied discography.
Yeah.
In a way that I was really intrigued to start this because I was like, you never know what he's going to make next.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, and that gets very organically to my next question.
I can't help it.
Which is about like what interests us about doing this series. Like, why are we interested? What are we curious about? And yeah, that's part of it for me, is like kind of going through someone's catalog in that way. Because with an actor, like in the way we've done it in the past, they are like a team member.
Mm-hmm.
In the films that they are in, right? Like, they bring themselves to the film and there are, like, through lines in that. But this is, like, the person making the artistic decision.
Yeah, I would... This is, like, where before, you know, you're, like, it's artists, and this is, like, interviewing, like, the curator. It's, mm-hmm. like, someone that is... And most of directors have, like, a style that you are aware of. Like, if we were doing Scorsese, we know exactly what we're watching this week. Or, like, Spielberg, too. And I was just really intrigued by this breadth of work.
Yeah.
But, I do see a lot of the through lines already that I do think actually tie his work together in a much bigger way. Because it is about, like, ultimately, I think everything that he does is about communication.
Yeah.
And, like, the friction that people have.
Yeah.
And, like, there always is, like... a bit of magic or a bit of crazy or a bit of, you know, like the man can twist. I think we all can agree with that.
Yeah.
It's true. Anyway, I do wonder, like, in watching the three films we watched, did you guys also watch them chronologically?
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Well, we did for whatever reason.
So you guys have a side chat.
Maybe. But I do think, like, I was just trying to, like, figure out, like, if he works with the same cinematographer or not, because it is just like each film is kind of getting riskier in terms of like what they did. So like the first film, which is called, please help me.
Pushing Hands.
Thank you. Everything is very grounded, likely very cheap and like all of that sort of stuff, like not in a bad way, but then in the final film, Eat, Drink, Man, Woman. Thank you. We get like a lot of very like weird handheld shots with like a very different camera, and like he's
and
they're trying more things.
The walkthrough kitchen.
Yes,
like
that was the big one. But also like anytime it's like there's like shots of food that are very calm and locked down, and then shots of food that aren't that are crazy.
Yeah.
But it is just like a very experimental thing. In like I think they're good at this part and they'll experiment with other stuff, and so I can kind of see them like, oh, let's do something crazy. Like after that, I definitely can see it sort of like happening.
Yeah, I'm interested to see like at the end of this journey how those through lines are more apparent. Okay, so let's just kind of overall high level thoughts as we start on the like what we watched this week. Did anything surprise you? I guess we kind of were just talking about that.
Mm-hmm. I do think that Ang Lee is a very like show not say director, and I think maybe he's lost that recently, but we'll talk about it in a few weeks. Anyway, but the three films we watched very much do take their time and like have a realism about them, and a couple times as a test, I may have like sped it up to 1.5, and that did not impact the. I just wanted to see if it did.
Yeah.
And like, we're talking like 8 minute long scenes or longer, always, forever.
Yeah,
I will say, like, he really does do, like, there was a few of these films where there's a bit of a twist at the end that he did not try to baby us and like give us any weird foreshadowing or anything, or like a lingering glance. He just kind of like hit us with it, and I liked that, and I was shocked at a few of them.
Yeah, same. Yeah, I don't think I have anything to add.
And just that I want to add that he's also an amazing writer, because he wrote the script for Pushing Hands and The Wedding Banquet, and submitted them both to a script competition and won first and second with both of them.
Icon behavior.
Isn't that crazy?
Do you know which was which?
Yeah, I think Pushing Hands was first and then Wedding Ring was second.
Okay.
Yeah.
I feel like it should be the other way around.
You know, check my facts, gotta say. But then because of that, someone approached him and was like, do you want to ever try directing? And he's like, why not? And so then he like started making films.
That's so cool. And at the time was a like house husband. He was a stay-at-home dad whose wife worked.
That phrase, I've never really heard that before.
That's my dream, Sean.
Is it?
Of course. What are you talking about?
I could see that.
Yeah. Nobody ever wants that. I'd mop every day.
I don't want that.
Please. For real?
I don't know if I want you to mop every day.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, I don't want that for you.
On our hardwood? I'm just trying.
Hands and knees scrubbing the floor with a little brush?
Oh, man.
Like Cinderella?
If I had no commitments.
With all those birds and squirrels to help you?
I'd train them.
The important thing
is that I'd have the time.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
No, that's the thing.
That is the thing.
Well, now that the child's in school, you would.
But if
you were having to parent full day... I think that's an illusion. That's a lie we've been told. That domestic labor is not real labor.
It would be work, but I would rather do that than work.
Yeah.
And you don't drink, so you would have to start getting a taste for white wine.
I'd have to start
benzos.
Drinking.
Yeah.
I'd play the part.
Straight to benzos.
Yeah.
Well, with that, why don't we get into the films?
Sure.
Does anyone have a hankering to describe Pushing Hands? We should have talked about this before the show.
I can do it. Pushing Hands is all at once a movie about... It is either about a man who is so rage-filled he will destroy a kitchen at a moment's notice, or it is a very nuanced look at the kind of troubles of being...
Bridging cultural differences.
Yes, but I was also going to kind of talk about the ageism aspect of it as well.
Oh, sure, yeah.
And it's... Well, yeah. In short, it is about a family in...
I don't know, American family.
Yeah, Seattle, New York. They're in somewhere near New York, I think.
The so-called U.S.
Yes. Anyway, they live there. They are...
Would you like me to do it instead, actually?
Maybe. I'm just trying, like, how do I describe... Anyway, go ahead. Go for it.
Mr. Shu.
Oh, God.
is a Tai Chi master who has recently moved to America to live with his quite Americanized son, Alex, and his complicated, stressed out wife, Martha, and their son, Jeremy. Didn't think of that.
And the husband works a lot, and so it's just Martha and her father-in-law in the house all day long, her trying to write a book, him just sort of chilling.
Loudly singing the Chinese opera.
Sometimes singing. And she goes kooky-looky, cannot handle us.
He doesn't speak English. She doesn't speak Mandarin.
But he teaches a Tai Chi class once a week. And then through that, he meets a woman about his age who's also an immigrant.
Mrs. Chen. She's so iconic.
They get something going. But then she reveals to him that their families are trying to hoist them onto each other because they want them out of each other's hair.
Well, because there's this kind of central conflict that Martha cannot handle having Shu in the house. And...
Whoa, hold on. Are we not on her side in all of this?
No, she's crazy.
What are you talking about? That's not what she signed up for.
It's not black and white for me. They're both at fault. Like, I'm not saying he's a perfect angel. That would drive me insane, being trapped in a tiny house with this man. And I think that's, like, part of it is... It's not just the kind of, like, cultural challenges and the, like, environment and context that's the issue. It's both of their choices as well.
Yes.
But both of them kind of completely refuse to...
Bend in any way.
And, like, meet each other in the middle. Like, there's a scene that really stands out
to me
where
Alex in the middle.
Well, yeah, and he snaps as a result. Which I think is kind of this symbol of, like... that tension of existing between two cultures and kind of like living in the diaspora and all kinds of things. But to me, it's really telling that scene where she's like, he refuses to learn English and Alex turns around and he's like, and what about you? Because to me, it's like, I don't know, if you're married to someone, wouldn't you want to speak at least some of the language?
Well, and we get that from the wedding banquet where Simon is like fully fluent.
Yeah.
And he's never even met the parents.
Exactly. Mic drop, Martha.
Okay.
I feel like you guys are too hard on Martha.
Martha, apologies. What do you have to say for her?
I have empathy for Martha, but I find her
insufferable.
Challenging. She could do with some therapy.
I think the whole crew could.
For sure. Honestly. Actually,
oh,
family
absolutely.
Therapy.
It's if they literally just sat down with a translator in that particular case for 20 minutes, I think all of the stuff could be totally worked out. But
maybe not all, but
I mean, it's
a
still,
good chunk.
Yeah, it would be rough to have someone in your life who expected that they could live with you, regardless of circumstance.
I think it's worth reflecting, though, not mm-hmm. though, as in like, but more and, how that is shaped by our Western perspective. And mm-hmm. like, that's kind of one of the conflicts at the center mm-hmm. of this film.
True.
Is that like individualistic versus collectivistic, mm-hmm. where Alex feels this really deep sense of duty to his father because that's, you know, like a value that's been instilled in him. And yeah, I think if like multi-generational living was more normalized here, we would find that less surprising, or like it, I don't think it would necessarily make it 100% mm-hmm. easier, but it is kind of interesting, I think, to reflect on like the lenses that we're bringing to a movie like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
True.
Yes. And I also, before we run out of time, want to shift into the third part, the third act of this film,
mm-hmm.
where he basically finds, he's like, realizes that his family is suffering because he's there.
Mr. Shu.
So he just leaves. Also, we should say that all three of these films star the same actor, Si Hung Leung, and he plays the lead in all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And so he decides to just split and go live by himself and try to spare his son the embarrassment of having this, of his dad living with him. And then it takes a bit of a magical, realistic turn where he, you know, he gets a job at a restaurant and they try to fire him. Mm-hmm. And he's like, that's really rude of you. Very ageist, because I'm a little slow. And he's like, and his manager is such an ass. A bad man. And anyway,
a butt face.
And then see, he issues him a challenge. He's like, if you can move me by half a foot, then I will gladly go. And because of his Tai Chi training,
he does have superpowers.
He is somehow Marvel level immovable.
Yes.
And the entire kitchen staff can't move him. And then they call in a bunch of street toughs. And then eventually an entire police force to move him a half a foot. So,
which I think he does willingly in the end.
He does eventually leave.
Yes. But I think because earlier in the film, he also is able to like push a man over, but he like flies back 100 feet into
right.
a table of dumplings.
Well, because of his Tai Chi mastery.
Yes. Yes.
His energy is so balanced.
Yeah.
But that does make this a superhero.
Yeah, and I feel like maybe I would have liked a bit more if they had leaned into a bit more magical realism in mm-hmm. the beginning. It felt a very sort of surprising twist.
I was kind of waiting for like a reveal that like he made those parts up.
Mm.
Right? Like, you
oh,
know,
like
we get to the police
narrator.
Station and you like there's,
and they show
a,
him
there's
just
footage
taking
of the security
away.
Camera and he's just like
takes him away.
Yeah, like I did think that was kind of like,
ooh.
So like we were only getting parts of the story.
Jeremy, that would have been...
That's what I thought
that
was
going to
happen.
Tight, for sure.
But I love, like in the truest sense, magical realism, where it's like completely grounded in reality and mm-hmm. then there's just this
yes, it is
magical
and
aspect.
And it's incredibly charming. Like it actually really does like great in the film and it plays really well, especially with the character... Where you sort of like understand that he's like given up everything just for this one other thing, and that's kind of why he is the way he is.
Yeah, and like even the metaphor of him like pushing away,
right?
Like, and how powerful that is.
Mm-hmm.
And the role that pushing hands as like a Tai Chi thing reference plays in like the way hands. What am I trying to say? what hands are doing in this film, like what they stand for. Mm-hmm. Like I think about that last scene where Alex and Martha, where he's like showing her a pushing hands technique. Mm-hmm. And it is this kind of symbol of like them learning to communicate. Mm-hmm. That like engagement, the like balance of energy and like communication between the two people, the same way that Tai Chi is a like balancing within the self.
Because those hands wreaked havoc earlier.
Well, exactly. Sure.
In a way that I was like, y'all should be divorced.
I do think Alex is the villain of the film.
Well, that's very interesting. Yeah, but no, I feel not like Martha.
He makes
some very bad choices.
He does, yeah. And it's the whole thing, like, I don't think they talk about it, but like if that's the plan, it was just like, hey, FYI, at some point, an old man's going to come live in this house with us. Mm. you know, you need to see part of the deal.
You want to see what's going on earlier.
That's true.
Before we arrive.
Yes. Whereas it's been a month, I think.
Yeah.
In the film. Yeah. So, and it does seem unexpected.
It feels inconceivable to me that she wouldn't know that. That's to be expected.
We're dealing with Alex here.
Yeah. Also, I'm just like, just close the door.
Well, that...
Get over it.
Again.
You have a huge house.
That's a visual metaphor again, I think. The barrier... Or, guys, I have such smart thoughts, but I can't put them into those smart words.
No, I hear you.
It's okay.
Like, the framing of the, like, different spaces that they occupy. Right. Or, like, he has to go outside to smoke, but he, like, still leaves the door open.
Mm.
I don't know. I don't think I fully put together what
but something's
means.
There.
There's something there.
And we do one of his classic, someone's got to go for a walk or a jog to clear their head.
Mm.
I feel like in all three of these films, people are jogging and walking and jogging.
Yeah, they are.
You got to balance your life force.
But in this one, he does get lost,
mm-hmm.
which is bad and scary.
That is bad.
And then for whatever reason, later, they let him go live on his own.
Well, he runs away with Mrs. Chen.
Well, it's true. Yeah, no. Well, no, but like twice they let him live on his own.
Well, the first time they don't have a choice because he runs
true.
Away.
He does, yeah.
The second time, he's with Mrs. Chen.
Well, he's not with Mrs. Chen.
I think it's implied at the end that they're going to get together.
Yes, it is. But he's
already
still living
by
in
himself.
His apartment across the way.
He's like, oh, you live over there?
Oh, right.
I live over there.
Yeah.
I forgot that was he was in a separate place.
Even though
place.
It did seem like...
But he had more of a community and had people to talk to other than lame-o Martha.
True.
Okay.
This is a fascinating division to me.
Hashtag Team Martha. Anyway.
You didn't find her
grading?
There's
not really any winners.
Maybe, but like, isn't she allowed to be grading?
Oh, she's allowed to do whatever she wants. But I'm allowed to not like it.
That's fair. But like, it's just, I mean, we both agree that they're each half the problem here.
Yes.
However, the real problem is Alex.
Yes.
But no, the real problem is...
The real problem is the kid.
The real problem is it's all Jeremy's fault. You guys, the part of why I found this movie pretty emotional mm-hmm. was just thinking about the impact on Jeremy of the...
Oh, I was also thinking about the impact on Jeremy.
of the, like, lack of stability in his home and that moment where Alex is like, you take better care of me than mom or grandpa. And I was just like, that's adultification. Yeah. That's really not okay. Like, especially the more I learn about childhood trauma, the more I see it everywhere.
and it's everywhere.
And it troubles me. Like, I just was envisioning Jeremy in the future with his, like, inability to not people please reflexively and just, like, hyper aware of everyone else's emotions. And
maybe we'll get that movie.
Anyway, the villain is... intergenerational trauma, I think.
For sure, yeah.
Not Alex.
Well, luckily we won't see the last of that.
Yeah.
Whoa. It gets funner for after.
It does get funner. Yeah. But still tricky. Like still
I think definitely
complex.
More interesting.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, we'll find out.
Here we go.
Take me outside and give me the old Yeller treatment, I think.
No.
It's time now for us to take a break, examine our relationships with our dads, and hear a word from our sponsors. We'll be right back with more spoiler alert here on 91.3 FM CJTR Regina Community Radio, tuned into the community. Welcome back to Spoiler Alert. We are going to get back to talking the films of Ang Lee for March Calmness. excitedly relaxing.
Rolls off
so bad every time. In just a minute. But first, we're going to play a little game lovingly called The Game.
It's game time, people. For those who don't know, or if you're just tuning in, The Game is where I select a title related to our topic that these two have hopefully not seen. I select the title. They tell me what they think it's about, and I tell them what it's really about. Guys, are you ready to play the game?
I think so.
I have had to do something special, which I decided I was going to do and then immediately forgot about. But in order to facilitate the game for the month of March and the thing that we are doing, I have had to go into the back catalog of our director, which means that y'all aren't allowed to look at his shorts.
I'll be keeping my eyes on
don't
his
you,
shorts.
Don't you peek at his shorts, okay? I need them. I need his shorts. Some knowledge going into this selection is that it was directed by Ang Lee. And it is one of his shorts before the films we watched.
Right.
So those are two things that you get to know for the upcoming games.
Okay.
This week's title is The Runner. That title again, The Runner.
God, he loves running.
He does. I was like, well, you got anything, Sean?
Tell you that. It's probably about a man who is a marathon runner, and it is a lifestyle that his traditional father does not approve of.
That's fun.
And so every time he puts on his little shorts and he's stretching, about to go out the door, his dad is always like, ugh. Like, can you help me do this? And he's like, I'll be right back. And they have a real disconnection, but then I think they eventually find some peace somehow.
That's nice.
Yeah. Do I know how? Not quite.
No.
Something happens.
Well, neither do they.
They don't know.
It's probably through running.
It's a short, so yeah. Maybe that's already it.
It's got to be quick.
Sanj?
Okay. I think, that's pretty similar to what I was going to say.
Oh,
actually,
no.
Now that you say that. Okay. I think it is about a blended family in America in the 80s. And grandpa has just come to live with them. I think it maybe was like the seed of the idea. And grandpa makes friends with a group of old guys who goes jogging around the neighborhood. And so it's about him like trying to adapt and fit in with this group of old man runners.
Like a gang. Like they're a gang of...
Oh,
yeah, gangly.
Gangly.
Also, Thang. I said Thang before.
Drop that Thang,
it's
Lee.
Okay. Yeah, and so I think it's just about, fun, like, trying to bridge the differences of culture again.
Wow. Thank you, guys. Thank you both for that. There are seeds here. You're both wrong in all ways, shapes, and forms.
No.
Damn.
But it's like, I do feel like there is always, like, some thread of, like, something that's super sad in every one of his projects. Anyway, The Runner is a dramatic, short-based feature based on a film script. So he was writing, and he got to actually make this. And it's about a long-distance runner who's past their prime, who has decided to work, like, a lame job in a dense metropolitan area. No mention of. Anyway... he has to figure out what he's going to do because his neighbor, he befriends his neighbor who is a small girl. She is 8 years old. And he discovers that her mom is an alcoholic. And the film deals with him deciding what to do when the mom disappears with the child. Anyway.
With the child.
You know, I can see some... So it's different. It's a bit different.
Yeah.
But I could also see some of sort of his similar things... Coming up in there.
Multi-generational friendship.
Father Knows Best, for sure.
That's
no
true.
Father.
Maybe he got that out, and then he wrote Father Knows Best. Mm-hmm. You guys, thank you for playing the game.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Cher. Well, let's get right into our second film of the three.
Mm-hmm.
And this is 1993's The Wedding Banquet.
Mm-hmm.
Sean, do you want to introduce this one?
Why?
I was just about to say, oh my God, profiling.
Just kidding. So basically, we pop. Oh my goodness! Okay, so we meet a couple, a Taiwanese man and his white boyfriend. They live in San Francisco. They have a great little life.
They're so cute.
But the, I forget what the main character's name is, but his parents are always like, when are you going to get married? He doesn't, they don't know that he's gay, and he keeps being, and they live still in like Taiwan, and he's like, yeah, like no problem. And they keep sending him applications to like, for dating profiles for wives, and he keeps making it impossible. Like a 5'10" opera singer that knows 3 languages and 2 PhDs, and they like impossibly sometimes find these people that they're like, what? But so there's like a bit of comedy around it, but it also is pretty sad because he's not open with his family. And then they finally are pushing him so badly, and he also is a landlord and decides to help one of his renters by marrying her to give her a green card so she can stay. And then it will hopefully solve their problems, because then his family will be like, oh, yay, you're married to a woman. But then obviously things blow up a little bit, and the parents decide to come visit and throw them a big wedding, and they have to put on this ruse. And his boyfriend Simon is initially really into this idea and helping train Weiwei to like to pretend that they've been in a relationship for a long time.
Yeah.
But then he eventually is getting more and more angry that he won't just reveal that he is a gay man, and things get complicated.
Yeah.
That they do.
Complicated. And then it goes into the most outrageous wedding banquet scene I've ever seen.
It's so stressful.
And it is really fun, just because you do get to see it like wear on them.
Yeah.
And they really do an amazing job of just like looking disheveled as all of this stuff goes down into what is some of the like most terrifying wedding
shenanigans
that farce I've ever even heard of. It's crazy.
It was wild.
Yeah.
And yeah, so like it opens with the film begins and you're kind of like, oh, this is like some fun birdcage, madcap stuff. But then it's really like, as you say, it really wears on people. Like, if you were actually pulling off this weird ruse, like the wheels obviously fall off and people get hurt, and it's really complicated. And I really liked watching this film.
Me too. Yeah. And that's like what you just said, Sean. That's part of what I really liked about it, is that way that it combined those like fun elements that we're kind of used to in a film like this, but then went deeper to the, like, yeah, actual human consequences, not just a tidy rom-com where it's, like, resolved.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some, like, really charming moments that do kind of make you laugh. And, like, it's just crazy how, like, sometimes then it just sort of pulls you down and you feel this sense of dread at things that should be happy or should be fun or whatever. And then I do think that there is this, like, if it is the Father Knows Best trilogy, it is just like, you know, what secrets does this man have? And in this one, it's sort of like that he's learned a bit of English. Like that's, you know.
This was so sweet because, yeah, the entire family, everyone is so concerned with Pa. Like everyone's like, don't confuse him. Don't disturb him. Don't like make him, like, don't disturb him at all. And he's actually so perceptive and understanding in a way that no one else is. That you kind of get a little reveal later.
Yeah, and to a point where he doesn't think they can handle it.
Yeah.
Right? Like, it actually, like, which is bad, but also, like, as the viewer, it does kind of readdress what a family is and, like, who can be supportive of what. Because they kind of get to this place that's actually really okay, but none of them know.
But the secrecy,
right,
like,
the secrecy is somehow holding them together. And like the only, like Simon is the only one that knows everybody's secrets.
Yes. Well, he like, shares that with Pop, right? Like that's their connection in a way, right?
Right, yes.
So, which is, it's weird because the end for the characters is not, they're all sort of like at levels of okay. But when you kind of like look at the whole situation, I was like, oh, like that's actually like pretty close to healthy.
Yeah.
Right? Like they're almost there if they can just get a little bit further.
Yeah, but so, like not tidily resolved, and like not that thing where like everything comes to light and everything is, the air is cleared. Like there is, like
the
you were saying,
the air is still muddy.
Yeah. Yes. But I watched this little clip of an interview with Ang Lee talking about this, and he said this thing that I thought was so interesting, which was like, I should have written down the exact wording. It was like, through pretense, we find the truth. Or like, and he was kind of talking about it in the artistic sense of like, and he was making the point that like, this is something theater does really well, which is that you know kind of not to exactly trust what's coming from the characters right away. Mm-hmm. And he was saying he felt like that's not something that film does as well. Mm. In terms of like that pretense telling us something useful.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I thought that was really interesting given the ending of the film. Mm-hmm. Like we were just saying, where it's like things can be okay without that complete airing.
Yes.
Of things.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually made me think of The Farewell. Have you guys seen that?
I haven't.
Which is a film about basically a Chinese-American young woman who goes back to visit her grandma in China. Ooh, is it China? Yeah, China. I just had a moment where I was like, uh-oh. because she's dying, the grandma's dying, but there's this tradition to not actually tell people mm-hmm. That they are dying, because it basically is like you're making them have to deal with that reality mm-hmm. when it's actually something that will just affect you. It's a very, anyway.
Yeah.
As an aside, but it just is that interesting thing of like also truth and truthfulness and honesty as like cultural values, and how, again, like this made me kind of reflect on those things that we take for granted of just like, yeah, complete honesty is the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this film kind of like,
it's like, maybe it isn't.
Yeah, add mm-hmm. some nuance to that.
Well, and it is like, I do think it's like a very good meditation of like family and self.
Mm.
And then there's so many, like everyone's sort of dealing with something internally and externally with every one of the other characters in different ways. And then we get hit with the like realism of stuff where like things don't end and they just kind of get to okay. And then we're still lying to this character. So like things have to sort of half resolve to keep going. And then of course the end where like we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if they're going to come back. We don't know any of the anything, but at least like for right now they can manage the next thing.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. It weirdly was hopeful, but yeah, it's like, oh, but there's still a ton of like, this person still has to hide this from this. Mm-hmm. And, but it was kind of it was an interesting way to end it.
Yes.
Hmm.
Although specifically like, the way the film really ends
yes.
is when Pa is going through a metal detector.
Yeah, and he puts his hands up and he's being and, like scanned.
And then it just freeze frames on that.
It's for so
the
weird.
Weirdest reason.
Yes.
Well, I think it kind of is a symbol of him like letting go in a way, or like, I don't know.
Yeah.
They could have cut it. Just they 5 seconds
definitely
before.
Could have cut.
Like, and it's obviously a choice, right?
Maybe. I don't know.
Well, it is.
It's
like,
so
you
strange.
Wouldn't end it that way unless there was a reason.
Maybe.
So, yeah, I thought it was a kind of like him letting go of that, like needing to kind of control.
But it was like
everybody controlling him.
Yeah, I was like, he doesn't need to control anybody. Everyone else is projecting this onto him.
Yes.
He's like, I'm chill.
But he's like not chill because he feels he has to manage everyone else's inability to deal with
right,
their
yeah.
perception mm-hmm. of his inability. I don't know.
It's,
there's so many.
No, he is more chill in reality than they think he is.
Mm-hmm.
But he is allowing that to happen because he thinks it's helping them.
He's yeah. like, they want right. me to be like that.
Yes.
So still controlling.
Yes.
It's the like dialectic thing again. It's mm-hmm. the both. It's the like.
Yeah.
That just was coming up for me a lot in watching these films.
Oh, 100%.
Which makes
it's
sense.
There. It's there.
There's also a strange part when Wai Tung and Wai Wai are in the wedding banquet crashes their bedroom.
It's the strangest thing.
Tradition.
I know, but then they're like, we'll only leave like when you guys get in bed together and take off your pajamas. And then, so they're like, okay, we do. And then they leave. And then they just are like, well, we're here.
Yeah.
Where we go. Yeah.
But in a way where she, like, because I thought they could have done this better. I think that, you know, he could have, like, he is extremely drunk. They've been drinking mm-hmm. all night. She could have made a pass at him and he could have been like, you know what? Let me see this through.
Mm-hmm.
But he is like, no, 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 no. And then she's like, yeah. And then it just, like, cuts away.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, that's weird.
Yeah, in that regard.
If they had a bit more of a, like, if he was, like, willingly, like, leaned in for a smooch or something and then faded to black, I would have been like, okay. But I was like, what happened here?
No, it was strange. And I also thought that was, like, another dimension of the character they could have explored a bit. Right?
Yeah.
Like, that could have been a thing. That could have been an ad and not a nothing, if that makes sense. But we didn't.
To me, it maybe just adds that, like, it adds to that lack of tidiness and, like, easiness.
Mm-hmm.
That it's, like, you have to kind of sit with the darkness and weirdness of that's what happened.
Yeah, maybe. But, that's, like, I could see him being forever mad at her for that. Easy. Very simple.
A part that also was very funny was that Simon still continues to live with them. They just say that he's their landlord. And they are so intimate with each other. Like Simon's, like, dabbing his mouth with, like, a napkin. And they're like, the landlord is still here. Hey?
After he kisses her, like, to wipe the lipstick off of, you know, like that.
Yeah, it's like.
It's crazy.
Anyone with an eye open is like.
But I think that's the thing is, like, so our self delusion is so great that, like, we like people like that. I think that happens in real life all the time, where things that should be so clear aren't, because we don't want to see them.
Like when YY is pregnant and Simon is furious, freaking out, and Waitong's mom is like, is he late for rent? Why is he so mad?
Just keep eating.
Yeah. Okay, well, let's get into our third film.
Yes.
The third in the Father Knows Best trilogy from 1994, Eat, Drink, Man, Woman.
Mm-hmm. This is four movies.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
it's
a
lot.
There are, like, four main characters of...
This was very, like, Fiddler on the Roof.
It was.
Yeah, kind of.
Because it's about a father and his three daughters, and each daughter has a special thing that they're up to.
Yeah, they've got a thing going on.
And one of them is, like, she's in school and works at Wendy's and is maybe...
In a bit of a love triangle.
Yes, and is maybe sort of, like, less of a love triangle and more of, like, a... I don't know what you call that. Like,
well, a bit of a steal your man situation.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
I'm like... Whatever.
I don't blame her.
That woman...
She put in the work.
the third person, she blew it.
Yeah, her friend.
Maybe.
Yeah, her friend.
Her friend was literally like, I don't love him. I'm just kind of keeping him stringing along.
But then it was revealed later.
She's like, I secretly was.
Secretly
like,
was.
Okay, game player.
Daughter number two, in no particular order, is Christian, and that matters for a very big reason, which I still don't understand.
She's a buttoned-up Christian school teacher.
And
then she eventually gets a big blowout and decides to get real hot.
Yeah.
Oh, and she's also receiving sexy letters from an admirer.
Yeah.
Zha Zhen's glow up was
real. Yes.
That's a glow up.
But you guys, we cannot talk about her story without talking about the sexy volleyball coach
who rides
the motorcycle.
Right.
Which is supposed to be this, like, cool dude, and it's, like, so cheesy.
He's such a wiener.
Yeah, he's
so
really
bad.
I mean, he seems like a nice, like, normal man.
But
it is very, like, ooh, is this a T-Bird? Like, we got a real cool rider here.
But it's Greece, right? Like, the whole thing is that it's Greece. Anyway, and I think you can't be cool riding a motorcycle upstairs. Like, I think that's the thing we've all learned.
Talk to the hearse today. Couldn't get up those stairs.
Daughter number three works for insert airline company here and is a big shot. And she's sort of like...
She's like maybe the most beautiful woman I've ever seen.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And she also might
I was like astounded. And when she's in her little suit, she's in her little 90s suit.
It is
like, wowza.
It's the whole thing of like, if that were a real person, like that's the woman everyone hates. Well, it's just like, oh, and
she's a real person.
No, she's playing a
she was real.
She's an actor. Like, she actually looks like that.
I know, but
I'm not talking about her looks. I'm talking about her ability to business and her ability to cook.
The way that she's the way that she's like CEO.
Yeah.
You're saying
the way that she can cook like a bit of an incredible
Mary
meal.
Sue.
It's very that.
Yeah, but it's basically like the most incredible woman on the planet, basically.
But she's got damage.
She does.
Emotional
but,
damage.
I mean, she's still handles
but her,
it very well.
Her damage is like, oh no, my apartment went under and they stole my money.
Yeah, and she's totally fine with that. It takes them 5
They're
seconds
like,
to be
okay.
like,
you can skip
darn
over
it.
Here.
Like, oh, I'm actually relieved. Like, what?
Well, yeah, I think it was kind of more of a character thing than a plot thing.
But anyway, basically this thing is that the dad has these 3 daughters. They all live at home. He is a retired chef, and he makes them incredible, level buffet.
He cooks all day,
meals.
Every day, these ginormous meals.
And these daily banquets are kind of a, they're like a burden on the rest of the family, kind of. Like
well, because I think it's like that's his only way of trying
of
to connect
love.
With them.
Yeah.
But for them, going to those dinners and like not connecting with him, mm-hmm. like the lack of actual connection just makes it like kind of perverse, I think, in a way.
Yeah, because he'll make the meal and then he'll just like leave.
Yeah, or just kind of sit there.
Yeah.
And judge them.
Yeah.
And he shows, there's another part where he shows love to their like neighbor,
Shan-shan.
This family friend. They've got a family friend who is the same age as like his daughters, and mm-hmm. she has a young daughter. And he just like decides to make her school lunch every day and like not tell her mother. And so she has this like ornate, incredible school lunches every day. Whereas him just like showing her that little
her class
love
like
language.
Starts like getting in on the order.
Like it's like a mob scene. Yeah.
Her and class is like surrounding
I
her.
I loved
meals.
That part.
It's so cute.
But that does lead to what might be the greatest twist in movie
I
history.
I was actually quite shocked.
I
was as well.
I had to pause it and stand up.
I was
just like,
surprised.
Are you kidding? Like, it was just...
But it makes sense because no one appreciates the love language that he shows them except for these two.
Right.
Jen,
and
yeah.
Dude, yeah, we're not revealing this twist, are we?
We didn't for the other one.
So maybe... Well, okay. Just watch the movie, everybody. But I still was just so shocked at, like, how... Well, I felt set up, which is what did happen.
Yeah.
But also, like, that is just, like... really good storytelling.
Yeah, like, do you know what I mean? Like there wasn't any longing glances or things like that. It was just like, oh, this is something that has developed and we didn't see.
Yeah, a whole bunch of stuff just made sense. And like, I get, you know, that makes, all this makes sense.
Yeah.
This makes 100% sense. And that was really fun. And then the best thing about this movie is that we get the reveal and the weird thing happens and we kind of get the end and then we get more. Because I do think one of the things that I see forming, and this does come up later in other weeks, is that like I do think Ang Lee likes to deal with decisions he makes.
Mm.
Like a thing happens, and now we actually see
we
that like
see
life
how this
goes on.
Continues.
Here's what happens, and we do miss that in the other films.
Yeah,
I feel like they just kind of end, and that's
but the ending
nice.
Of this is so pleasant. It's like oh, everyone is. Happy and everyone is doing their thing and it's like still kind of messy but it's like
I loved this one.
It was a really great film.
It like I feel like there was like if like you were saying it kind of felt like a bunch of different movies in one or like an ensemble movie kind of, but it didn't feel long. Like it didn't feel like
I felt like it was long.
Okay, that's interesting.
But it was still very good. I think if this was made today it would be like a 4-part miniseries, and I think it would be so much stronger.
This is your whole thing.
But like to see like all of the youngest daughter, then all of the Catholic daughter, then all of Business Babe, and then the dad story. Like that would be mind blowing.
Also, the way that Business Babe discovered that her sister like had.
Lied about that whole
relationship, and that was kind of just like, oh, well, and like she didn't even confront her about it. She was like, well, that's weird.
And then it
shook her pretty bad.
Yeah, I guess you're right. But she, like, the way that these daughters have such intense conversations with each other, and she didn't like bring that up.
Mm. I think it's kind of that same thing of like,
I'm not going to embarrass you or whatever.
Yeah, what you say and what you don't say and why. I feel we have to talk about food.
Oh, yes, of course.
The food looks amazing.
It all looks so good. I feel like the food looks good in all of them. Mm-hmm. And maybe it was just like time to actually explore that.
Yeah. Well, it's more central in this one.
Yes, very much. And in the second one, they play with food a different way in that Wei Wei cannot cook.
Yeah.
Which is fun.
Yeah. And Simon can.
Yes, it's so good.
It's
gender rules. And yeah, like just the... oh, it made me so hungry. Like, they all kind of, they all made me a bit hungry, but this one, I was like, this is Studio Ghibli levels of hungry.
Oh, it was like those, beautiful. I was reading, they filmed those scenes over like a week and like with a professional chef.
Yeah, and like that scene when he goes into the kitchen for the first time, when he gets called in because the like shark fin soup dissolves.
I love that scene.
I watched a little clip of Ang Lee talking about how they had, they used three kitchens to kind of make it look like that big expansive space that it did. And he pointed out, or I think someone else in the video pointed out that like it's framed almost like him coming in as like a surgeon to like save the day after an emergency.
It is like that.
And
right?
Just the way that they're doing the walk and talk, like just like, tell me it. Like, and he's like, 3 cc's of shark fin soup or whatever.
I loved it when his cab pulled up, the door was open. And like, that's how urgent this situation is. And I was just like, immediately, oh, that's not safe. Because, sir. Oh, no, that's not safe.
You're going to fall right out. a funny part about it, I loved a lot about this film, but the music was, there. All the interstitials were like the Sex and the City music.
It's literally so crazy.
I think
like,
I actually think the Sex and the City theme ripped off from
I think it's the same
soundtrack.
Song.
Yeah, I think it's
it. Yeah, I think it's actually.
But there's no record online of it being credited.
Oh.
There's one Twitter thread of someone else being like, hello? Is this a thing? And then a bunch of people replying being like, this is all you're the only one I can find talking about this. So.
Okay, well, now we're talking about there. It. The truth is out there.
Truly, it could not sound more similar. But yeah, the music I enjoyed a lot.
Yeah. And I don't remember the music of Anna from any of his films, really. If it is, it's very so tasteful that I didn't notice it.
Each time I kind of felt like it was weird and distracting. But I think
I liked that.
I think it might have been like a yes, a choice, but also like a line in the sand in terms of like, I need to bring you out of this for a second.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We're moving on to another genre.
Yeah.
But I think kind of to what you were saying at the beginning of the episode, Jer, he talked about how this was like his first chance to do something more refined production-wise in terms of like the lighting and the cinematography and stuff. And
I feel like there was budget here.
It's absolutely bigger in every
way. And everyone's acting was way better than the first two.
Yes.
No offense, Martha and Simon, but...
No, but they all slayed.
Well, I do have to say, in the moment we have left, Alex's freakout scene is maybe the worst acted thing I've ever seen.
Yeah.
And like, if you're in a rage and you're opening a cupboard to pull out a bowl, like, no,
also
that's not real.
All this furniture was Ang Lee's own furniture, and most of it got wrecked during that scene.
No, I'm not surprised.
Oh no,
isn't that sad?
It's like literally 30 years later.
I know. That's okay. No, he can afford a new kitchen table
now.
Yeah,
Ang Lee's probably still enraged about it.
He doesn't seem like a very angry person. To be honest,
so mad.
He's more of an angry person.
They call him Angry Lee.
We got
to go. We got to go. That is truly all the time we have for this week. All the thanks to Saskatoon's The Garys for the use of our theme song, Manitouna, to my co-hosts, Sean and Jeremy, everyone at CJTR, and to you, our sweet listeners, for lending us your ears. The show is broadcast live Wednesdays at 6 p.m., rebroadcast Fridays at 3, and we're available as a podcast on CJTR's website and anywhere else you get your podcast. Stick around for more great people-powered radio. Have a great week.
Bye.